All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Advantage. I'm here today with a very special guest. Her name is Barbara Kazam. We're gonna discover exactly how you say Barbara's name. I'm Bob Dietrich, your host today, and Barbara, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Bob. I am super excited to be here today, even though you couldn't pronounce my name correctly.
Oh, I can pronounce it. I just like giving all the different variations of it. It's like such an exciting name. In fact, we came up with one earlier today, but we're not going to share it with everyone yet.
Thank you.
Maybe later. Maybe we'll do it just before we end the show. So stick around and listen to everything and see if we reveal Barbara's secret last name. So anyway, so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some really good stuff. Barbara is a professional speaker, credited speaker through Toastmasters, highly accomplished. She's worked at lots of different companies. She has blazed the trail herself, and everybody's got their own path, right, to becoming a professional speaker. And today we're going to talk about what Barbara's path has been. So if you are becoming a professional speaker or you're interested in that, you can kind of see what the path can be like for you by seeing what Barbara's path has been. So we're going to talk about some things that that Barbara's been through and see if that is going to help you or how it can help you. So Barbara, let's jump right into it because, you know, so many people want to know so much about you, especially because you're quite a, you know, talent. You're great up there. You're funny. You're relaxing. You make people feel comfortable. And that's the beauty about being funny. And, you know, it's kind of like when people are funny, they're kind of humble about it. You're so humble about it. But you're just fun to listen to. You make fun of yourself. You make fun of other people. Everybody's comfortable with that. And so it's just kind of a gift you have, I think. I don't know. Did you develop that at all at some point, or is it just come naturally to you?
That is a great question. So amazingly, when I was a little girl, like a little girl, I was super shy. Mm-hmm. Like I would hide behind my mom's dress. In high school, I wouldn't ever raise my hand or speak up. I just sat there. And then one day it was in high school, senior year of high school. I'll never forget this. I was sitting next to this girl. And I looked at her folder, and she had this sticker on her folder that had three words, and that was, "Why be normal?" And it hit me like someone slapped me in the face, and it was like, yeah, why be normal? Why am I so worried about what everybody thinks about me? And what is normal? There's no such thing as normal. My mom said that when I came home from school that day, I was a different girl and I totally changed. I was all of a sudden I was outgoing. I played in an air band. I quit physics. I was taking physics in high school and I hated it. And I just quit that. I joined the student body. I mean, it was a complete change. And from that point forward, I had this attitude where we're all weird. Every single person on this planet is weird. And from that point is when I let my personality shine. So personally, on a personal level, that's kind of where that started, I would think. I didn't answer your question, did I?
No, I think you did. How old were you back then?
Well, I was 18 when I went through that experience.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I was picturing like 12 or something. So you were 18. I had a similar experience. I was like, but I was like 40 something. So, I guess it happens later for men. Maybe.
Yeah, it happens at different times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool. Well, so let's talk about your public speaking experience. You know, we all have our different paths. What happened for you? When did you decide that you wanted to do public speaking?
Yes. Well, out of college, we're going back too far probably, but I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in chemistry. Oh, Lordy. But the problem is when you have a bachelor's degree in chemistry, you're basically a lab tech. And there's no way I was going. I barely like made it through. So there's no way I could go on. I had no interest in going on. But the job that I had for 10 years, I worked as a chemist. But for the last 3 years, I had the coolest job. I was a tech rep. So I moved to San Diego, didn't know a soul. I was a tech rep, had a territory. The only part of my job I liked, though, was when I had to train someone on something. And it was usually I had to train a customer on how to use drug testing equipment. You know, so push this, push that, and you try it, and you do that. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I had to create training classes, but it was only 10% of my job. So finally, I just got fed up. There's a kind of a story behind my getting fed up, but I just got fed up, and I just said, I quit. I want to do this training thing full time. For 8 months, I had no job until someone told me about a seminar company called SkillPath Seminars. I applied to SkillPath Seminars. I don't know why they hired me, and that's where my public speaking skills took off.
Oh, that's interesting. Are they still around?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes. Yeah, SkillPath Seminars,
SkillPath
Career
Seminars.
Tracks.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of those seminar companies that are still out there, still needing trainers to work for them. And it's definitely
awesome.
Great for developing platform skills.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you know, what's interesting that I've noticed, I didn't expect this, but when, you know, when you're a speaker, you're definitely a trainer, you're an educator, and that's what speakers are. I mean, if you don't like training and educating people, then speaking's probably not for you.
Right.
So when did you find Toastmasters then? How did you make that transition into Toastmasters?
Well, while I was doing all my training, so I started with the seminar company in 1999. I worked for them mm-hmm. for 10 years. But while I was in there, I had heard about Toastmasters. I had done, you know, what some people do. I had attended one Toastmaster meeting during that time mm-hmm. and absolutely hated it. And there were people like mm-hmm. buzzing and clicking, and everyone was super serious. And I was like, what the heck is this thing? So I didn't want any part of it. But then I mm-hmm. realized I wanted to develop my impromptu speaking skills. My platform skills were solid. You know, I'd done that for 10 years. I had thousands of hours of experience, but what I didn't have was the impromptu speaking. So then I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. in January 2010, I'm like, I'm going to give this Toastmaster thing a try. Found a group, loved it, and have been a member ever since. Absolutely love it.
Wow. Okay. So you came into Toastmasters professionally speaking already.
That's
with
correct.
No real training other than what happened through that seminar company.
Right.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So when you were training in the seminar company, what were you training? Like, what was the topic that you were training on?
Oh, that's what's hilarious. So the first topic I was given, and you know, you weren't choosing topics. They give you topics. So the first topic
right.
they ever gave me, oh, hilarious. It was a 2-day seminar called Coaching and Team Building Skills for Managers and Supervisors. Okay, so I've never been at that point. I had never been a manager or a supervisor. And here I am teaching 2 days of this to people who are very experienced managers and supervisors. So it
right.
God, talk about stressful.
So you're super nervous, right? Because you don't know the material, and you're talking to all these people who live what you're trying to teach them.
Yeah.
The ultimate in nerve-wracking speeches right there.
Yeah, it was challenging, but I tell you, I dove headfirst in the material. I read, you know, how many leadership books and articles, and I interviewed people and leaders and managers and. The thing is that, you know, you do the first one. I'm pretty awful, you know, at the first one. But then you learn. Ah, okay, so that person said
right.
that and that person was that. Because in the next one, you incorporate
right.
that. So that's why 10 years of doing this, you get a lot of stories, a lot of experience. This is what works. This is what doesn't work. Say this at this point. Don't say this at this point. So it's great experience. But holy heck, that was a tough start.
So leadership, did you move to another topic after that, or are you still on leadership?
Oh, yeah. I still do lead. I love teaching leadership now. Oh, my gosh. I love, 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 love leadership. But, yeah, then I moved because you teach multiple topics. You don't just teach one topic. So then I also taught for administrative assistants, which I've never been one. It was part of a conference. So there's three trainers that teach three different topics. And mine was like, believe in yourself, negotiating skills, like all these things I had no idea about. But boy, you know, one way to learn this stuff is to teach it, right? And
that's
I started watching other speakers and listening and absorbing and going to conferences and seminars. And I was like a sponge, just trying to learn as much of this stuff as possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. So a lot of people come into speaking and they don't have a topic.
Right.
And you're coming in where they're giving you the topic. And
mm-hmm.
which is almost better, because the other way it's like you have to choose, and that could take years sometimes to choose
right.
your topic, or people
right.
spend years on it anyway, right? I know I've
right.
been back and forth on different topics, and I really settled into something that I really love and I know a lot about, which is entrepreneurship. So now I know you speak about customer service, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How did you start speaking more about customer service?
Well, customer service was one of the topics I taught with the seminar company. It wasn't my
okay.
only topic, obviously. But once I quit the seminar company, I hired coach. I'm a big fan of coach. You know, I'm an athlete, so I'm a big
mm-hmm.
proponent of coaches and mentors and
uh-huh.
getting help. I realize I cannot do this all by myself. So one of these coaches that I hired is a professional speaker. He makes, I don't know, $4 or $5 million a year at least. And I hired him mainly to help me with my positioning. And at that time, I wanted to talk about attitude, because I like attitude, you know, oh, so happy, you know, let's be happy, blah. Well, he says, hold on a minute. You're trying to market to corporate America. Corporate America doesn't buy attitude talks. They buy customer service, communication, or leadership. Pick one. And I was like, I want to pick customer service, because customer service and attitude are very closely related, as is communication and leadership. So I was like, I can put all of my expertise into customer service. So now what I do is I lead with customer service. That's how I get into corporations. But then from that point forward, I can do, hey, let's do leadership. Let's do communication. Let's do team building. So I've got a plethora of other things I can offer once I'm in. But my leading thing is customer service.
Got it. So do you have any advice for somebody who is in the midst of picking their topic? They're stuck on it. They're trying to choose and they can't make up their mind or whatever. What would your advice be for them to help them get started and move past the I'm still picking my topic phase into the I'm developing my message phase?
Right. Well, the first thing I would do is what you and I have both gone through, and that is that Message of You program with Judy Carter, because she's got like two whole pages there on topics that people want to book. So that's the
yeah.
first place you can start, because you can go, I've got a couple in here, you know, that will work. But then I think you've got to pick something, this is my personal opinion, that you love, that you're passionate about, and that you're willing to research and talk about for a long time. You know, and I don't want
right.
you to think you have to be stuck with it. You know, like I was taught attitude stuff. My focus on that for like a year and a half before I changed. I mean, so it's not like my life is over if I pick the wrong topic. Not at all. You pick
right.
one, go for it, do your marketing, find out, not customer. Let's do team building. My market really wants team building. Okay, let's tweak this a little bit. Let's move that way. But at least you're moving.
Right.
The point is you got to, you know, move forward. Just sitting around thinking about it is not going to help anybody.
Right. So just choose the topic that you could talk about for a long time and move
mm-hmm.
forward with that.
And that you're passionate
and if you're
going to
go
and
with
that you're interested in, and you know that you can make some kind of difference in the world with.
Right. And then if you are planning to speak in the corporate world, right? You want to be speaking on those three topics: customer service, leadership, or communication.
Or, well, that was his suggestion for me. because those weren't my areas of expertise. But that message of you books got those other areas, like sales. I'm sure sales, you know, is a big thing on that, and lots of other areas. Yep. But for me, it was those three.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, you could Google how to find a topic and find tons of stuff out there. There's tons of people that have these bookable topic lists. So I would suggest that people, you know, Google that information and find those lists, because you can get multiple different lists out there for that. So you had your topic early on. What was it like for you when you made that shift into your first paycheck? You're at the seminar company, right?
Right.
And what was it like? How did that whole thing transpire, going from the person who is doing lab tests for drug addicts to this paid trainer?
What's the question? What's the transition like?
Yeah. What was that like? When did you get that first paycheck, and how did you transition from being the employee into being the speaker?
Yeah.
You're still an employee.
Transition
at that point.
Like? Well, no, I wasn't an employee. I was an independent contractor. Yeah,
oh,
I haven't
were?
Been
okay.
an employee for a while. But one thing with the seminar company.
Even when you were doing the drug testing, you were independent contractor.
I was an employee as a chemist, but I haven't been an employee since I was a chemist, since 1999.
Got it. So you made the transition into the seminar company as a contractor. What was that like? What was that process like?
Well, you're going from a nice steady paycheck to because with the seminar company, you don't work every day. You only work according to your schedule and their schedule. So I averaged 10 to 12 days a month of doing seminars. So it's not every day. But what also you get paid, this is how you get paid with the seminar company. You get paid per seminar. You also get paid on how much of the product you sell, because there's always books and tapes and things. So that was another challenge, because you're not just teaching the seminar. You also have to try and sell the books and tapes. And if you're not good at that, they let you go. They don't schedule you. So you've got to get great evaluations, and you've got to sell a lot of product, and then you get more gigs. So all three of those things work together. If you're not selling and you don't get good evaluations, they're not going to book you, and then you can't work, and then you can't pay your bills. So it's kind of stressful. You know, especially first starting out. I don't know how to sell. I've never done that ever. And I was awful at it. But heck, man, I went to a lot of seminars and workshops, and I took red books. And and so finally, at the end of the 10 years, I was in the top 10 in sales. And I was top 10 in evaluation. But it takes time, you know, to learn that stuff. But, you know, you get used to it. I like that schedule. It worked for me.
Right. So did you quit your job and then just go right into this contracting where you weren't sure when you were going to get this paycheck, or did you kind of do both for a little while, or how did
No,
that
I would not do what I did. Don't do what I did. I quit in January for my chemist job. I didn't start with SkillPath seminars. My first seminar was, I think, in November.
Oh, so you took some time off with no income.
Right. But at that time, I was single, you know, I had hardly any expenses. It wasn't, you know, an issue. But now, you know, if you've got family and kids, no, don't do that. And most coaches would not recommend that. Don't quit your day job unless you've got other income coming in that is equivalent to it. I wouldn't do that again.
So were you speaking right away? You know, you had 4 or 5 or 10 speeches a month right away, or did they kind of gradually?
No, it was slow. Yeah, so November I had like maybe 4 days, and December's always slow, so maybe one day. And it was slow at first, but then eventually over time, it got much better, of course.
Now,
but
if you weren't
cool
very
about
good
the
at the
seminar
sale,
company thing oh, is. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, go ahead. Right.
What's cool about the scheduling of that for me at that time was that I was able to play professional beach volleyball at the same time because of the flexibility of the schedule. So like I knew, okay, there's a tournament in May on this day, June on this day. So then I could say on my seminar schedule, okay, I can't work, you know, 2 days before that tournament. So it worked out beautifully where I was able to do seminars. I was able to play professional beach volleyball at the same time. It was spectacular. So that was nice for me, you know, for the work-life balance or whatever, fitting it all in. It worked out great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you gradually went up, and I guess my question was, if you said you were really bad at the beginning and you weren't good at sales or any of that stuff, how did you maintain, how did you keep that job then? Why did they keep you if you hadn't, you know, if you
because
weren't meeting
my
those requirements
good.
That time?
Oh,
my okay. People liked you. Your audience liked you.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So it was just, they knew it was just a matter of training you to get to that.
And plus
next level.
I called them and I'm like, I want to get better. You know, help me get better. What do I need to do? And I did whatever they told me. You need to go to this class. You need to, you know, travel here and go to this. You need to read this book. I did whatever they said. So it wasn't like I was like, oh, screw it. I don't know. No, I was putting in the effort. You know, I was getting coached. They knew I was trying.
Okay. Good. Now, you said you were big on coaching. Do you think coaching made the difference of whether you were successful or not as a speaker?
I don't see why not. I still have coaches.
I mean, could you have done all this without a coach?
No, hell no. I mean, heck no.
Okay.
No, there's no way.
Barbara,
no, because what happens with me, I don't know, maybe some of your listeners, maybe you, I get distracted. You know, like I get 5,000 emails. I'm like, oh, that person says I need to do what SEO? Oh, I need to hire that. And then Facebook and like, oh, and then I got to do that. And then so I want to do too much. And the coach is like, Barbara, let's do this. Okay, this month we're going to do this. That's it. Let's just work on doing X. You know, we're going to develop content for this. That's it. Forget about the extra. So without that, I would, no way. There's no way I'd be as far as I would.
Got it. So the investment in coaching sounds like it's an investment in yourself, and you really need coaching if you want to get to that next level.
That's correct. That's what I believe.
How would you, or how did you choose a coach? How did you determine who you wanted to work with?
I've had some bad coaches. I'm easily sold.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the good coaches, the ones that were effective. How did those people show up, or how? What would you say you would look for to find more people like the good ones that you've had?
Yes, the good ones.
Have you had any good coaches?
I have. I go. You know, like it's interesting. Like a coach is good for me. Like each coach brings something different. So like I'll have a coach for about 6 months and I'll be like, okay, I think I'm ready for something. You know, I need something different now. And so I'll move on to a different coach. Like they all have different aspects. One helps with marketing, one helps with content development, et cetera. But I think I would get a referral from someone that you like and trust, but still that's not a guarantee either, because sometimes the dynamic with you and that coach isn't right.
Right.
So sometimes I think it's just trial and error, trusting your gut and going, you know, am I moving forward? Or are they just like, every time I talk to them, we're like going down different paths. They don't remember anything they talked to about before. So for me, it takes about a month before I figure out if this is a good fit or not.
Yeah. Good. Okay, so definitely have a coach, and definitely give that coach a try and give it about a month before you determine whether the coach is effective or that's somebody that you're really clicking with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Okay. When you were at the seminar company, you say you moved out of the seminar company, which in itself is a contract position, and it's almost like owning your own business. It's the same money mindset because it's only commission only, right?
That's right.
So if you work, you get paid. If you don't work, you don't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost getting paid on results, and you got to think months and months in advance, because sometimes there are, I'm guessing there are dry seasons in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like December's
mm-hmm.
probably not that hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you probably want to have money saved up through there. So you had that money mindset going into your independent speaking business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how what was the independent speaking shift like? What was it like for you to go from, you know, working for the seminar company and them basically feeding you these opportunities to you going into your own speaking business and getting the gigs yourself?
Yes. Well, once again, I did something that I don't recommend, and that is I just quit without having a future plan. Oh, people mm-hmm. don't do that. I don't know what's wrong with me. But at least while I was at the seminar company, I was developing my website. I had little video clips and testimonials. So slowly I was collecting the pieces that I knew I mm-hmm. needed to go out on my own. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't fabulous pieces, but they certainly were there. So then in January, I just quit. I was sick of working for the seminar company. It kind of gets old. The travel is awful. They don't pay you very well. But mm-hmm. the great thing about it is you develop your platform skills. You know, like they say, it takes 10,000 hours to develop a skill or whatever to become mm-hmm. an expert.
An expert.
I felt like I had those 10,000 hours. So I was, mm-hmm. you know, confident with my platform skills. But what I didn't realize is how hard all the marketing stuff was. I didn't realize that was so challenging, but I lucked out because in February, okay, so I quit in January. January, that, by the way, is when I joined Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. February, I attended a free workshop by, you've heard of Constant Contact, right? That email email program. Mm-hmm. So I attended a free workshop by Constant Contact. And the first thing the teacher says is, meet three people you don't know. Give them your business cards. I'm like, ugh, I hate doing that. So
no,
I turn around.
I hate doing that too.
I turn around and to the lady behind me, I go, oh, yeah, I do customer service training. Hand her my card. She goes, oh, my gosh. We're looking for a customer service trainer. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. interesting. I've been working with that company ever since as an independent contractor doing customer service training for healthcare people. So I do leadership, communication, team building, customer service. And I've been working with them ever since. And they're about 50% of my income right now.
Wow.
So I got lucky.
So mm-hmm. you got lucky, but you also, you know, you were engaged in putting yourself out there, even if it was for learning something new, right?
Right.
You did reach out just to three people in this case, right? One of them wanted a customer service rep. That was totally lucky. But at the same mm-hmm. time, it shows how easy it can be sometimes to find it just by putting yourself out there.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. So now the marketing, you know, the marketing is something that people I don't think see coming. And it's the marketing really starts with your digital platform, right? All mm-hmm. all the different pieces, your website, social media. So and it
I
sounds like
you
were preparing that.
Speaking gigs I've gotten because someone saw the video and they're like, oh, I want that. I want you to do that with my group. That's an easy sell.
Right.
I don't have to do anything. They're already convinced when they call me. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Good. So let's talk about those pieces that people that are looking to start to become speakers, you know, they're working at their job and they want to start their speaking business and they know they can't quit, you know, they don't want to do what you did, right? So they're not going to quit. They're going to keep their job, and they're starting to build their speaking business. What are the key components from a digital platform standpoint? You know, the digital platform being all the electronic platforms that you're going to launch from, including your website and your YouTube channel and your Facebook page and your Twitter account, stuff like that. So what would the key pieces be that you would say that they really should start working on and getting prepared to open up their own speaking business while they're working?
So this is just my personal opinion, but what works for me is the website, of course. It's just a brochure. I mean, mm-hmm. people don't ever go to the website and go, oh, this is fabulous. Well, people like my website, but they don't ever like find me and go to the website. But the website basically is my credibility builder. But the key thing I think for me has been those darn videos. Videos of me speaking and testimonial videos and pictures of me speaking and on stages and So the more of those speaking videos, the better. Because that's what people, if they want a speaker, they want to see a speaker, right? So, I mean, the word text
exactly.
is fine, you know, and the written description, that's fine. But they want to see you speaking. So that has been my my most successful thing.
So they expect you to have a website, but it's not like they're going to be wowed by it, right?
It's so cheap to get a website nowadays, you know, to create one.
Yeah.
One page, you know, just, hey, here, go there. Here's my stuff. Here's my stuff. You know, that's easy.
So it sounds like a lot of people want the electronic press kit. When, you know, it's like if you want to speak or apply to speak or whatever, you know, I want to see your press kit, which comes with a headshot and a sizzle reel, right, which is the videos you're talking about, and a one sheet. Is there anything else that might be included in that? Headshot, sizzle reel, one sheet, what else? Anything else?
Oh, I usually have a list of questions that I ask them, like what is the theme of the event? What do you want to accomplish? If this was a home run, what would it look like? What do you want your people walking out to do or think different? You know, so I have like a little questionnaire thing. I also have like audio visual requirements, a list of that. Of course, testimonials. I also provide references, a list of references on there in case they want to call people, see how great I am.
Good. And if you're with Toastmasters, you certainly can start speaking at Toastmaster clubs and get references that way as you're starting out. So you get build some professional references, right?
Right. Well,
speaking
you know what I
Toastmaster
did?
Toastmaster district events.
I spoke at a lot of free stuff, and I'll still do free stuff, like Chamber of Commerce's, Rotaries, Kiwanis, and I've gotten some business that way. Well, first of all, I've gotten videos, but I did, or like National Association of Women Business Owners, they have free things you can talk, all local. I just did these local talks, but that's how I got, as a client, Bill Howe Plumbing. And I go in there every quarter and do customer service training, and I do call center training in the street. So that's a big client of mine right now, just from doing free stuff. Edco Waste and Recycling, same thing. I did a free talk at a Rotary, and then 6 months later, I get a call from Edco. Hey, we want you to come in here and do training. So now every year, I do three trainings for them. They pay nice moolah, and all from free stuff. So it's just getting out there. You know, get out there. People want to see you, and then you get their name. You know, I would always collect their business. Hey, let's have a drawing. Let's have a drawing. And they put their business card in, and you contact these people.
Right. And it sounds like, you know, you speak for 10, 15 hours a month, but the rest of the time you're working, you're doing free stuff, you're doing free speeches, you're out there at a business meetups or whatever, getting your name out there, you're building your digital platform, recording your videos, right? So so it's not like you just speak for 15 hours a month and you know you go off to the beach every day. You're actually building your business,
it sounds like. Yeah, 80% is not speaking.
Right.
80% is the stuff I'm not so thrilled about. I love speaking, but we got to do the other stuff too.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Well, this has been very helpful. Listening to your path really kind of opened my eyes to a few things, especially the fact that there are seminar companies out there that need speakers, and what a great way to start getting out there and start speaking. And you know, if you're looking to be, you know, a speaker and quit your job and start to get some of these, you know, start to get a speaking career going, you can actually do some of this contract work and start speaking for some of these seminar companies without quitting your job.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, do you have any other advice for people, you know, thinking about moving into the speaking industry?
Any other? I say just go for it. Just go get out there and speak. People, well, you know, if you want to be a speaker, you got to speak. It's not in your head. It's got to come out your mouth. You got to, and don't be afraid of screwing up. You know how many times I screwed up? Oh my gosh, I messed up and I said stuff that was inappropriate or whatever. Just get out there, and the more you speak, the better you're going to get, and the more you're going to get hired. That's it.
Got it. Got it. So get out there and speak and take action and make some decisions for crying out loud. Pick that topic. It's just know it's going to change. It's going to morph.
Yeah, it can change.
It's
okay.
Evolve.
It's okay.
Yeah, you're not married to it. It's not a tattoo.
That's right.
Right. So you can change it. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, whatever your topic is, don't tattoo it on your back. You'll be sorry later. No, it's going to change. It's going to change. And it's okay that it changes. It's, you know, and it may change. You may keep it like you did with leadership, only expands to customer service.
Right.
Because that's, you know, you find that by rebranding yourself as customer service, it's your faster path into certain organizations. So,
right.
So you may, you know, it's all about positioning, like you said earlier. You know, you repositioned yourself, but you didn't really change much of what you talk about.
Right. Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on our show. This is really helpful information. And, you know, I'm sure we'll have you back maybe for a deeper dive into the world of Barbara Kazam.
Oh, yay. I don't know if there's anything deeper.
I don't know.
It's my pleasure.
We're only... All right. Well, thank you so much, Barbara. And I appreciate your time. And, you know, you really are an asset to our Toastmaster community. A lot of people look up to you. You know, you went on this path of becoming an accredited speaker, and we'll talk about that path on another podcast, but we definitely want to hear about that story when we have more time.
Do. Great.
All right. Well, thank you, Barbara, and we will we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you, everybody out there listening today. If you get a chance, say hi to Barbara, and you know, like Barbara said, you know, pick that topic, get out there, start speaking, make some decisions, and just take some action. That's really sometimes all it takes is you getting yourself motivated and in motion. So thanks again, everyone. This is The Advantage with Bob Dietrich, and I will see you on our next show. Take care.